Well, good morning. Good to see everyone today. And if you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Galatians, chapter 5. Today will be the final lesson in the series that we're doing titled Walk. In the first lesson, we looked at Ephesians 5:1, where Paul says, and walk in love. And we talked about the need to walk in love toward God, and then the need to walk in love toward one another. And then in the second lesson, we looked in Romans chapter 6 and Ephesians chapter 4, and we talked about walking in newness of life. And we looked at some very concrete examples of what it means to walk in newness of life. For example, no longer lie, but tell the truth. No longer steal, but work. No longer say corrupt words, but words that edify. So just some very specific ways that we can express the new life. And then we talked about 1 John chapter 1, where he talked about walking in the light as he is in the light. And when we do that, we have this continual cleansing of the blood of Jesus, plus this uninterrupted fellowship with God. Last week, we talked about being a witness for Jesus out of Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. And then today, we're going to talk about walking in the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5. Now, in Galatians chapter 5, there are two lists. And these two lists describe two different ways that we can live in the world. We can follow the lust of the flesh, or we can walk in the Spirit. And so Paul gets into great detail on these two ways to live as he describes them. And so let's talk about the works of the flesh here. So first of all, in Galatians 5:19 through 21, Paul lists these works of the flesh. It says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So those are the works of the flesh. That's one path we can go down in life. But then there's another path, and it's the fruit of the Spirit. And here Paul says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such, Paul says, there is no law. So, we're either walking in the flesh, or we are walking in the Spirit. We're doing one or the other. One is godless and hell-bound, and the other is blessed and heaven-bound. So, these are the two ways of living, right? And these two ways of living, Paul points out, are in opposition to one another. They're not going in the same direction. They're going in different directions. And so there is the butting of the heads when it comes to the works of the flesh or walking in the Spirit. So what exactly is involved in walking in the Spirit, and what does that mean? Well, one way to help us understand that is to look in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. And notice Paul says here, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So notice Paul says, don't get drunk with wine wherein is excess, but rather, be filled with the Spirit. So if you're drunk with wine, under the influence of wine, what happens? Well, that affects the way you talk. It affects the way you walk, right? And so alcohol being under the influence will have a lot to do with what you say and what you do. And so the alcohol causes you to do things you normally wouldn't do, but you do them because you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, or the influence of alcohol. But on the other hand, if you are filled with the Spirit, it's also going to affect your walk and your talk. You see, he says, be filled with the Spirit. Notice, speaking to one another. What? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, that's much different than if you're drunk with wine. Right? If you're drunk with wine, there's totally different songs, right? These are spiritual songs. These songs are songs of our faith and in God and in Christ. And so think of being under the influence is a way that we can understand walking in the Spirit. When you are walking in the Spirit, you literally are walking under the influence of the Holy Spirit. He is influencing you. He is guiding you. He is leading you. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. And so you're allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you by being under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And so let's talk about three different ways that we can see the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us. This is not an exhaustive list. This is just three ways that the Holy Spirit is leading us today. So as we talk about being led by the Spirit or walking in the Spirit, number one, it involves transformation. Transformation. Now, turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And look at verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, and Paul says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And the example here is Moses, how when he went up on a mountain and met with God, that he literally glowed with the glory of God when he came down. There was a transformation that occurred in his life. Paul says a similar thing happens when we are led by the Holy Spirit. We're led by the Holy Spirit so that we end up being like Jesus. That's the goal. That's what Christianity is. It's all about. It's all about becoming like Jesus Christ. Look in Romans chapter 8, for example. In Romans chapter 8, look at verses 29 and 30. And Paul says here, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. And so notice here that God chose us long ago to look like Jesus, to be like Jesus. And Jesus is the first of a whole new order of beings. And so just as we now bear the image of the first Adam, we shall bear the image of the second Adam. But that takes place and it begins in this world. So it's important to understand salvation. When you think of salvation, we tend to think of, you know, God saved us. That's in the past. Well, that's true. But salvation comes in the past, the present, and the future. So, for example, Paul says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So when Paul says, by grace are you saved through faith, Paul's talking about past tense. We were saved. When we obeyed the gospel, God saved us. However, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul says, "For the preaching of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Did you notice the wording there? Those of us who are being saved. That's a present tense participle. There is a sense in which God is saving us right now. Right now, we are being saved. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. And then in Romans chapter 13, verse 11, Paul says, "For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed." What's he talking about, nearer? I thought we had it, and I thought we are experiencing it now. We did get it, and we are experiencing it now. But there's more to come. What's to come? When Jesus comes back. When Jesus comes back and we shed this flesh and this mortality and we put on immortality, then we go to be with the Father forever. That's when salvation is consummated. And so there is a sense in which you were saved. Yeah, you were saved when you obeyed the gospel. You are part of the saved. You're now the church. But there's a sense in which we're being saved, and that's the part I want us to think about today. As we think about salvation, God is presently saving us. God is presently changing our lives. Day by day, we're taking on the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 8, the verses we just read, verses 29 and 20, I hope all those who teach the Bible will pay attention to those two verses, because that is what Christian education is all about. It's all about growing up and becoming like Jesus. It's not, you know, just being able to, you know, the doctrine of this and the doctrine of that and the doctrine of this and the doctrine. No, it's about becoming like Christ. It's about becoming like Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit is presently, right now, transforming your life, transforming my life, and day by day by day, I am becoming more and more and more like Jesus. And when He comes back, I will be fully and completely like Jesus when He returns. And Paul makes that abundantly clear in the book of Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, I'll just read these two verses to you. Paul says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." And so ultimately, this body is going to be conformed to the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. We're going to look like Him when He returns. We're going to have a body like Christ. So there is this transformation that's occurring. That is if you're walking under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Because you can, you know, follow the lust of the flesh. You can live that way too. Or you can be led by the Spirit, and that is, you're under the influence, you're under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. He is transforming your life. But number two, He is involved in helping us eradicate sin from our lives, to eradicate sin from our lives. And this is important. In Romans chapter 8, look at verse 13, Romans 8, verse 13. I love this verse. Romans 8, by the way, is all about walking in the Spirit. So if you want to read a text that deals with walking in the Spirit, read Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 16. Paul is all about walking in the Spirit. But here in verse 13, he says, "For if you live according to the flesh," that other way of living, "you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So notice, it is the Holy Spirit that enables us to put sin out of our lives. So that list that we saw of the deeds of the flesh, a lot of that was in your life when you became a Christian. Now, maybe not everything in that on that list was in your life, but a lot of that stuff was in your life. And but little by little by little, as we walk with Jesus, as we talk with Jesus, our life undergoes this transformation. He's eradicating one sin at a time, one sin at a time. You die to one sin at a time. It's hard to die to a whole lifestyle at once. It's hard to conquer every sin in your life at one time. And so we generally just focus on one particular sin at a time in our life. As we see it, we acknowledge it, and we deal with it, and we eradicate it, and we put it out of our lives. And the only way that you can put sin out of your life is by the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't have the power to do that. That's why you need new birth. That's why you need the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because as a new creature in Christ Jesus, we now have the power to put to death that old sinful nature. Before our conversion, we were helpless. We had no choice but to live that way. We were under the influence of the flesh totally. God gave us another way to live under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is bearing fruit in our lives. But another way we see the Holy Spirit is that is He helps us to walk in the truth. To walk in the truth. Going back to Galatians chapter 5, notice that Paul says in verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, I wanted to give one other example to the previous point before I move on. So let me do that real quick. Let me just do that real quick. I wanted to go to Philippians chapter 2. It's just an example of how sin is being eradicated from our lives. And this is a great example. Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13, Paul says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Now notice Paul says, work out your salvation. Now Paul's not saying work for your salvation. That would be heresy. He's saying work out your salvation. Work it out. We can work it out because God has worked it in. And then he says in verse 14, do all things without complaining or disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. And so Paul says, day by day, as we eradicate sin, as our life is undergoing this change, little by little, our life is becoming brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter, and our lives begin to look like stars in the black sky. And that's the way our life should stand out. There should be a sharp contrast between God's people and the people of the world. There's no gray line. There is a vast difference between these two. I think this is just a great example. We can work our salvation out. Why? Because God is working in verse 13. Notice verse 13 again. For it is God, notice, who works in you both, two things, to will and to do for His good pleasure. So, in other words, He even gives you the desire to do His good pleasure. So the desire that you have to serve God and do good, that comes from Him. He does that. He gives you that. He not only gives you the will, but He also helps you carry that out day by day by day. He gives you will to walk with Him and the desire to carry that out. So I think it's just a great example of how the Holy Spirit is eradicating sin from our lives. Now we can go back to that third point. And so since the sermon is mine, I can do with it however I want, right? I can change it if I want to change it. But Paul says that we're supposed to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Now, over in the book of 3 John. In 3 John, look at verses 2 through 4. John writes, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth." God wants His people to walk in the truth. It's not enough to know the truth. It's not enough to just carry the truth around with us. It's not just to be carried. It's not just to be read. It's to be lived. It's to be lived out. And so the Holy Spirit is showing us how to live the Christian faith. The Christian faith is laid out for us in the Bible. God shows us how we're to walk in this world. You know, and we live in uncertain times, right? And so many things are uncertain. But when it comes to the will of God, that's not uncertain. We know the will of God. We possess the will of God. We have the will of God. And God expects us to live out that will. And the Holy Spirit helps us to live out that will day by day. You know, I think when we think of doctrine, so often we think, you know, well, there's the, you know, the doctrine of the church, and then there's the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, and then the doctrine of angels. And we tend to think of doctrine about those things, and we don't see doctrine as everyday life. But in Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, he says, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine." Here they are, that older men, be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women, likewise, that they may be reverent in their behavior, not slanderous, not giving to much wine, teachers of good things, that they have admonished the young women, and to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. And so notice here, doctrine has to do with everyday living. It has to do with being a husband. It has to do with being a wife. It has to do with raising children. It has to do with your godly attitude. All of that's involved in doctrine. It's not just, you know, doctrine of the church, doctrine of the Holy Spirit. You know, your whole life is doctrine according to the Bible. And so the Bible lays out the doctrine on how we're supposed to live. And so as we allow ourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit, He will lead us as we read the Bible to the life that God has called us to live. And I just want to add one other verse to this. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, actually it's two verses, verses 16 and 17. And Paul says that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so we know that the Scriptures were inspired by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit lays out for us the life that God is calling us to live. It's not uncertain. It's not difficult. We just have to open up the Bible, and we have to read it, and we have to pray and say, "God, lead me by your Spirit. Allow your Holy Spirit to take over me." And I pray that your Holy Spirit will infiltrate every part of my being. I pray, God, that if there are, you know, areas in my life that I don't want the Holy Spirit to go because I don't want to change that, I pray that we'll be open to allowing the Holy Spirit to possess the whole house. not just possess a portion of the temple, but allow him to possess the entire temple and allow him to lead you, to guide you, because he will transform you. He will enable you to get rid of all that gunk in your life that you want to get rid of and you haven't been able to. He will help you. And then he will help you to walk in this new life that's called Christianity. And it's a great way to live. And it's the family of God. And God loves you. And God wants you to walk with him. And he wants us to walk with one another. And so this morning, maybe you've never picked up this walk. You've never started a walk with God. Well, today is a good day to do that. Why do you say that, Ray? Because the Bible says today is the day of salvation. And so we don't know about tomorrow. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow is uncertain. We don't know. It may not come. What we do know is we have today. And that's why throughout the Hebrew, the book of Hebrews, the Hebrew writer says today. If you hear, he doesn't say tomorrow if you hear his heart, if you hear his voice. He says today if you'll hear his voice. Don't harden your hearts. Listen, the Bible says that we are sinners. We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. Our sin has separated us from God. But in love, God acted. He sent Christ and he died on the cross and he was buried and he was raised to life 3 days later. That paid man's sin debt. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, God erases our sins and adds us to the family of God. And we begin this walk called the Christian walk. If you've not started it, I hope today you'll make a decision to do that. If you're struggling in your life, I hope today you'll come forward and say, hey, I'm struggling. And have your brothers and sisters pray with you. What better way to overcome sin than to come and ask God's help and ask your brothers and sisters to support you and pray with you and encourage you. So whatever your need is, make it known as we stand and sing.